Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., a young professor who's pregnant is concentrating on helping babies of the poor to catch up with language, because it's those kids who are most deprived.
Ashley Darcy Mahoney. I am an assistant professor and neonatal nurse practitioner at George Washington University School of Nursing, and I'm the director of infant research at the Autism and Neurodevelopmental Disorders Institute.
Why concentrate on low-income or poor children?
So these children tend to be at highest risk for hearing fewer words. This data has come from us since the early 1990s from a study done by Hart and Risley in 1995, looking at the differences in words heard by children of low income versus higher income families. And what they found was a 30 million word gap between children of different socioeconomic status.
And why does that matter?
It matters because children of low socioeconomic status compared to high socioeconomic status, when they hear these fewer words in the beginning of life, especially at 0 to 3, it really makes their school readiness at kindergarten substantially different than their counterparts. And what our goal in many of the programs that are discussed here and the program that I work with is to really get these kids ready for school and at grade level reading by third grade.
And so what is this activity that you're pioneering?
Talk With Me Baby is a program that is aimed to coach parents to talk with their kids as often and as much as possible. And in order to do that, we have to essentially reach the people that reach the parents. And so we have developed workforce training. We've really focused on our nurses, nutritionists that work with lower income families, and they see them a few times a year. About half the children in the United States see these nutritionists. We work with early childhood educators, and we work with foster parents. We've rolled this out across the state of Georgia and begun to scale it up, and certainly our pediatrician and pediatric counterparts have really helped us to dig into this. But our first workforce that we really were aiming at was nurses, because we know that nurses see children in the very earliest stages, and they do a vast majority of the teaching, especially in the hospital with families in terms of breastfeeding, baby care, sudden infant death syndrome, and back to sleep. And we know this component is one that we've added to that repertoire.
What should it be about life in a poor house that makes conversation less likely or interaction with the baby less likely?
Well, we know in poorer families, the stress of life is significant. We know that parents often work multiple jobs. We know that these children are often with various caretakers, from aunties and aunts and grandmas. We know there's a lot going on in these households with a lot of stress. And the research just seems to tell us that we see these differences in the houses. But what we also see is that these parents want the same things that all parents want. They want their children to have the best life possible. And so when we give them this information and we empower them that they can really make a difference in their child's life, these parents make substantial gains and they get on par with any counterpart, whether it's middle income, high income. All families can do this, and it's free.
So Ashley, you've got results already, have you?
We do have some results that show us that we can, in fact, empower parents via lots of different technologies, like the apps that we have, for example. We have parents that can do this, that can then input the knowledge into our system that says, yes, their child is improved in their language development, and we can show that the workforces are making substantial changes as well. So the nurses are actually transferring this information to families, that the early childcare educators are really making these changes.
Have you had children already?
Me personally, yes, I have one child who is about 21 months, and I will be having another one joining us in the late spring.
So I can see, are you slightly enraptured, I suppose, by the fact that your baby can hear possibly what we're saying at the moment, but certainly noises from yourself?
Yes, the son that I have now, who's 22 months, it's fascinating to watch him learn and really begin to speak. And even at the earliest ages, even at 3 months and 6 months, when babbling and cooing begins, that engagement, that back and forth talk is really important. And if we can get parents to just know that that back and forth talk matters so early, and that behavior can be really instantiated when the baby is in utero, that behavior can really make a difference in a child's life.
And I have no doubt that goes for households around the world, not simply in Georgia.
Absolutely. Households around the world can certainly benefit from all of this.
Assistant Professor Ashley Darcy Mahoney, George Washington University School of Nursing, and the project Talk With Me Baby has a link on the Science Show website.